The week before leading to that Friday, I was in St. Louis. I had been in seminary for about a year and a couple months, well, a year and about 4 months, and I had not come back. Hometown was Spokane. I had not come back home for that long of a period. Well, I think the summer I did make a trip, but only one trip in a year and a half. And so it was in February. It was finals week, Greek exams, hermeneutics, all these difficult topics. And I got onto the flight to come back to Spokane. And when I landed in Spokane, about just a couple hours after landing, I had excruciating pain, the worst pain imaginable. I remember being in my parents' restroom, and I can still picture just staring in the mirror thinking I was going to die. My appendix had burst, was what it was. Maybe you can relate to that. So a few hours later, went to the hospital. A few hours later, after kind of making sure I was at ease and not feeling so sick, they had surgery, and that's where the scars came from. Now, when I look at those scars on my belly, I actually don't think of pain. I think of God's grace, because what if my appendix had burst in the airport in Denver? What a horrible situation that would have been just a couple hours before that, 4 or 5 hours. Or what if my appendix had burst 4 or 5 days before that moment and I would have missed finals week? That would have been really difficult. Or what if it would have burst a week later and then that would have been difficult because I was heading back to St. Louis. But I remember the scars as God's gracious timing. I think that's true about scars. They show us that we've been healed, that we're better, that we've recovered. That's what Jesus' scars are meant to relate to his disciples. Grace and forgiveness are yours. Not worry and anxiety and be guilt-ridden and sad about what you did to me, but you're forgiven. Because his scars tell a story of an innocent man that went to death, a brutal death for guilty sinners. But he wasn't just a man. He was the Son of God through his death and resurrection. You see, he opened up a way for God's grace to flow and for a right relationship with God for those guilty sinners, but for you and me. His scars communicate that we are forgiven. Isn't that awesome? So true. But do you feel it? So often we don't feel it. We have those feelings. We're known, not for, you'd think, because of this is true, and if it's true, you would think that we'd be the most forgiving and loving people on the entire planet, in the community. You'd think that we'd be known for sharing forgiveness with others so easily and freely, but so often we go back to the things that are not so good in David Kinnaman's report. Here's the thing. Which is harder? I posted this on Facebook, but also in an email to the congregation. Which is harder for you? Let's pause for a moment and just share. Is it harder for you to forgive yourself or to forgive another person? Any thoughts on that? Carol says self. Self. Yeah, self, most people. Yeah, the research shows that 90% of people have a harder time forgiving themselves than another person. We have hurts inside of us. We sin and we do it over and over again. And we have these hurts and pains inside of us, maybe because what someone else did or maybe something that we did ourselves. And that hurt is inside of us. Know this, you can't forgive. That's a limitation. No human being can forgive. It's impossible. We first are forgiven by God, then we have the power to forgive others. That's why the Lord's Prayer is, Jesus said, forgive us our trespasses. God forgives us, as then we're able to forgive others. This Lent, soak up the deep meaning of what it means to be forgiven. It means that you are loved. And we're going to share that in a special way, that tonight's just an appetizer, but it's really a five-step process based on the acronym SCARS. S, next Wednesday, is sin. Oh, man, we're going to talk about sin. But guess what? When we talk about sin, that opens up the possibility for grace. The more, you know, I'm not encouraging sin. But Martin Luther once said a true story to his pupil, Philip Melanchthon. Philip, you try to be too perfect sometimes. Why don't you go ahead and do a little sin? Martin Luther said that. Why? So that Philip Melanchthon would celebrate God's grace, not his perfection. C stands for confession. We're able to share those sins because the posture of God is one leaning in. When you know you got a father that's leaning in to forgive you and love you, it's easy. It's easier to confess, and that's how God is with us. A is absolution, meaning we are forgiven, it's been paid for. R is restoration. And then finally, S is sanctification. Each of those steps is really critical. What I find as a pastor, why forgiveness doesn't have its way all the time, is because we sometimes stop at C. We don't really celebrate that we've been forgiven or that we've restored or that we can now share forgiveness. Or we stop at R. We're restored, but we don't realize that sanctified with the Holy Spirit, we can now, we've got the power to forgive others. So let's change what we're known for. From David Kinnaman 6 to people that are free. The people at Peace Lutheran Church, they're a bunch of free people. So light and so easy. Because we are. Jesus' words are true. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. We're going to continue in our worship service with the Annunciation. It's a prayer, and I'll lead us in that. I invite the congregation to rise as you're able as we share this together.